Aphasia Awareness Concert on May 7th at the Horseshoe. Queen Nation, a Queen tribute band, will perform.
Sunday afternoons, we take you around the Lone Star State for 3 hours, starting at 2 p.m. with Texas Monthly Archives. At 3, it's the current issue of Texas Monthly Magazine. At 4, Travelin' Texas. And at 4:30, Texas Gardener. Sunday afternoons, beginning at 2, on Recording Library of West Texas Radio. Read by listening.
Now, here's your forecast for the Midland-Odessa area. It's 58 and clear. Tonight, clear with a low in the upper 50s. Then tomorrow, partly cloudy with a high in the mid-70s. Tomorrow night, clear with a low in the low 60s. From the Recording Library of West Texas 24-Hour Weather Center, I'm Maria Lopez.
This is the Recording Library of West Texas. It's 1 p.m.
This program is made available to the IAAIS program share and was recorded at the audio reading service of the Ellen County Public Library in Fort Wayne, Indiana, for people with print impairments.
Welcome. This is Healthy Life, and I'm your reader, Tony Ray, with the audio reading service at the Allen County Public Library in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Today I'll be reading from Health, and I'll begin with an article called Pivot with Purpose by Kiera Carter. Considering a big change? You're not the only one. Learn how to pull your dream out of the clouds and directly onto your Do Now list. 3 years ago, I quit my job to travel around South America. I packed up my desk at an office I loved and said, see ya, to my friends and family, and buzzed into an apartment in Buenos Aires at 3 a.m., bleary-eyed after a draining 15-hour trip. Why leave a life I liked? Well, because if I didn't, I knew I'd see it as a missed opportunity as I got older. At that point, the only thing holding me back would have been fear. Not my husband, who worked remotely, not my job, where freelancing is a legit career path, not a mortgage or kids, just good old-fashioned, shaking in your boots terror. I suppose, on some level, I knew I'd regret not knowing more than not liking it. I mean, even if the trip went terribly wrong or I hated working on my own, I'd learn things along the way about myself, about another part of the industry, and about the world. And what was so scary about that? Of course, this move was pre-pandemic, miss you travel, give me a call sometime. But lots of women are now making their own huge life decisions thanks to a general reassurance of priorities. Take Kirsten, a 32-year-old cellist, living in Washington, D.C. She's been working in a professional orchestra for 8 years, but the pandemic, or a furlough, has given her time to explore her nagging dream of being a doctor. Yep, that's a decade-long journey since she didn't study science, but to her, it's 100% worth all the effort. Her schedule is packed with prereqs, chemistry, biology, organic chemistry, and physics. I want to grow as a human being. I want to do this. Research says you probably feel good about satisfying your own itch to switch, if you have one. We regret the failure to act more than we regret an act, says Shai Davida, Ph.D., an assistant professor at Columbia Business School, who studies the topic. After all, if you do something, anything, you'll leave with some valuable learning. It's hard to grow from something you didn't do. To be clear, these shifts are major, and they can be scary. Here are some tips to help you move towards your dream. Reach out. People hate networking, but everyone needs help at some point, says Dawn Graham, Ph.D., author of Switchers, How Smart Professionals Change Careers and Seize Success. Her job switch trick, make it easy for your contacts to help by being specific in your ask. Avoid any ad sales advice? Instead, try, I see you've worked at X company. Could you connect me with HR? Same goes for physical moves. Don't say, hey, how do you like Miami? be pointed. Another tip is get real. It's easy to idealize the jobs, cities, relationships you see on TV, but you're seeing only a fraction of the picture. Graham says, examples, most lawyers hardly ever go to court. Sorry, Law and Order fans. L.A. might not be for you if you love snow, but yes, it does look glam on Selling Sunset, and dates is nothing like Younger. So research the stitch you crave to learn more about the cons. Imagine your day-to-day instead of the once-a-year highlights. Another tip is fend off what-ifs. Whether your dream is to go back to school or move to the beach, there are legit reasons, so expensive, fam obligations, to put your dreams on hold. Problem is, people forget these things when regret kicks in. In one study, researchers asked alumni if they could have squeezed in an extra college course. Yes, but current students basically said, don't think so. My schedule is nuts. The point, record your reasons so you're nicer to yourself later. Well, here's a few course changers. How four women took a deep breath and dove into the deep end. They can, you can. Redefine education. I left a job in TV to take a 12-week coding course instead of grad school and now work for a major tech company. Shift with the situation. I lived in Denver for just 2 years but hated the thought of a COVID winter. I picked up and moved to SoCal, Southern California, and it's much better, says Kim in San Diego. And get that, and energy. Fitness empowered me to make changes in my life, even at my busiest. If I could do these physical feats, what else could I do, said Kay at New York City. And the last one is consider the lifestyle. I knew I needed a job with less travel to raise a family, so I opened a dance fitness studio and haven't looked back, said Lauren of Kansas City. Well, how big should I go? Different strategies work for different situations. Access it all advice. Take small steps if you're unhappy, but you're not sure what to do next. Always run towards something, not away from something else, Graham says. Because otherwise you could be looking at another change in a year. Make a list of what you like and don't like about your current or most recent position. Is it possible an awful client put a dark cloud over everything? Could you talk to your boss about your hours? If you haven't identified where you want to go, you have to work to do it. And more advice is go for it if you've identified your passion and done your homework. You've interviewed people with the position you want, did some job shadowing, or took a course online. The last thing you want to do is blow a bunch of time and money to learn that you've been on the wrong track again. Well, I want to read a few more virtual realities. Where do you go when you feel scared, confused, and lonely after a long, altering diagnosis? For many people, the answer is online. I'm going to read three stories about how it helped. I call myself a long COVID survivor, says Fiona Lowenstein, 27. It all started on Friday, March 13th, 2020, with a fairly low fever that developed into chest congestion and shortness of breath. I was 26 and didn't have any serious underlying health conditions. I assumed I would be fine, but that Monday night I ended up at the hospital, receiving supplemental oxygen because it was so hard to breathe, and I tested positive. I'm the founder and editor-in-chief of Body Politica, a queer feminist wellness collective, and on March 26, we started an Instagram chat for anyone who thought that they had the mysterious, at the time, illness. In those first weeks, I was sick. We didn't have the language we have now, like COVID long haulers or concrete information about symptoms. Via Instagram, we could compare notes. The group grew before our eyes, and soon we needed a different tool. We switched to Slack, a messaging platform, and now we have 9,000 active members and more than 60 channels, including four different kinds of symptoms, gastrointestinal and respiratory. We use a Google survey to briefly interview potential members so we can ensure the group remains private and available only to COVID patients and caregivers. We've held AMA, Ask Me Anything, sessions with experts. When you're going through an illness and not getting better, it's so helpful to have another person who intimately understands your experience. You're physically isolated because you might be contagious, but you're also losing touch with friends because you're not at the virtual happy hour or distance walk. I've developed friendships with strangers I've met in the group that are, at this point, deeper than the ones I had before. I don't want the group to exist forever, but I also see from one patient advocacy movement that, once this pandemic is over, people will still be dealing with long-term physical, mental, and financial impacts from COVID. This could be a long fight, but we're in it together. Tiffany Marie Peterson, 35, said, "I never want another person to feel as alone as I did." Within 2 months of being diagnosed with lupus, an autoimmune disease, I decided to be more vocal about what I was going through. I had friends and family who had no idea what was going on, and I had fallen out of communication with them. So I started a Facebook page called Friends Against Lupus. People outside of my circle found it too, and I began to see how many individuals and whole families were affected by the condition. At the time, I also participated in Twitter chats in an effort to learn more about people's experiences with the healthcare system. And I realized there wasn't one specifically for lupus. I started hashtag lupus chat with 3 co-hosts. We hold chats every other Sunday to talk about things lupus related, from pregnancy to nutrition to how lupus can affect your kidneys, and with people from all over the world. I love the sense of bonding that it offers. I never want another person to have the lonely experience I had in those early diagnosis days. Monya John, 29, said, "Multiple sclerosis is not one race or face." Between dealing with a new diagnosis out of left field and a pandemic, not to mention attempting to work and parent my 3-year-old, 2020 was the hardest year of my life. On December 31st, 2019, I learned I had multiple sclerosis, or MS, after my vision went blurry and my body went numb up to my breasts. I looked into support groups, trying to find a space I felt comfortable in, but I kept seeing the same reoccurring thing. Groups were made up of an older, white crowd, as if MS was strictly a white disease. It is not. African American females get MS at a higher rate than previously thought, per study in neurology, and our MS seems to be more aggressive. I vented to my partner, Nick, about how I never saw anyone with MS look like me, as if I was out there on an island. He said, "Why don't you create something?" I started at Life with Monya on Instagram and later lifewithmonya.com to add representation to the community, because it's a fantastic but needs to be more inclusive. I love being able to direct message with other Black women who feel comforted when they come across someone acknowledging that. MS is an autoimmune disease that impacts the brain and spinal cord, and it affects more women than men. I'm going to read from Personal Best. Working from home with kids. Changes due to COVID-19 find homebound working parents and their children facing challenges they couldn't have imagined a year ago. Meeting job responsibilities with your kids underfoot can certainly complicate your day. And solutions may not be easy, but they're doable with practice and patience. So first, be prepared. If your kids are young, you probably learn to expect the unexpected, such as frequent interruptions or unruly behavior in the middle of a work deadline. Plan for extra time needed each day to deal with any sidetracking setbacks. Schedule regular playtime breaks during the workday with your kids. Set boundaries. Designate a specific area for your home office, ideally a spare bedroom with a door or a screen. To reduce interruptions, such as during a conference call with your coworkers, establish procedures with your kids. And train your kids. Assuming they're old enough to keep themselves occupied, explain the situation and that you'll need to remain focused throughout the day with minimal interruptions. Given time, you can figure it out as you and your children adapt and move forward. Did you know that exercise and mood go together? Whether you're feeling stressed, anxious, sad, or mad, exercise can often help. Researchers have found a strong link between regular exercise and improvements in mental health and mood. Becoming more active can even enhance memory and cognition. For example, Duke University researchers found that people who are active are less depressed than more sedentary folks. Studies also show exercise can help reduce anxiety and even control panic attacks. Here's how physical activity has a positive impact on your mental outlook. Although exercise is a form of physical stress, physical activity helps manage your emotional stress because after physical activity, you experience lower levels of stress-linked hormones, such as cortisol and epinephrine, and that can boost mood. It turns out that all forms of exercise, from walking and yoga to running and sports, improve mood. But if you are feeling too anxious, stressed, or down to find the motivation to exercise, how do you start? The APA advises that beginning with any amount of physical activity, even a short walk, is better than not starting at all. You may soon find your mood is better and look forward to exercise. Albert Einstein said, "The most beautiful thing we can experience is the mysterious. It is the source of all true art and science." No mystery to yoga. Why meditation? Many people use it as a way to reduce stress, anxiety, depression, or pain, and increase peace of mind. Although the practice of regular meditation is ancient, researchers into its potential health benefits is relatively new. Meditating regularly is accredited with reducing stress and negative emotions and increasing self-awareness, patience, and creativity. Meditation works to control the sympathetic nervous system, which increases your heart rate, breathing, blood pressure, and stress. The only way to know how meditation can help you, especially with reducing stress, is to experience it. It takes mental focus. All that needed is a few minutes of quiet time and practice. The Harvard University Center for Wellness offers these guidelines to get you started. Choose a quiet place to relax and meditate. Sit comfortably in a chair or on the floor with your back straight. Close your eyes or focus on a single object, a photo or candle. Breathe slowly, deeply, and gently. Keep your mind focused inward or on the objects. Stare it back if it wanders. Steer it back if it wanders. Breathe peace and quiet into your heart and mind. Meditation comes in many forms, including concentration, heart energy centered, mindfulness, tai chi, transcendental, and walking. You might consider meditating with a group of people for a more powerful experience, and having a teacher can help you learn and succeed with meditation. Mia Hamm said, "Failure happens all the time. It happens every day in practice. What makes you better is how you react to it." Have you wondered, is stress bad for my heart? To cope with stress, people sometimes engage in behaviors such as smoking, heavy drinking, and overeating, which can increase the risk of heart disease. When upsetting situations trigger anger, anxiety, or other strong emotions, the body releases stress hormones, including cortisol and adrenaline, that can raise your heart rate and your blood pressure. Brief, occasional stress responses are normal, and the body can bounce back from them. However, chronic, ongoing stress can tax our physical and mental resources and may cause inflammation in the arteries leading to the heart. Estrogen levels in women may offer some protection against this damage, but this protection diminishes after menopause. Finding healthy ways to deal with stress and avoiding a potential harmful lifestyle are a good start for protecting your heart. Here's a reminder about why masks matter. Masks are simple barriers that help prevent the spread of COVID-19. That's why the CDC urges us to wear masks. Wearing a mask keeps respiratory droplets carrying the coronavirus from traveling into the air when a person coughs, sneezes, talks, or yells. And your mask protects you from respiratory droplets from others. A Virginia Commonwealth University study documented that among 198 countries, those that put mask requirements in place early had success controlling COVID-19 spread and keeping deaths far lower than countries that waited longer to recommend masks. Masks don't block oxygen despite erroneous information on the internet. The only people who should not wear masks include children under 2, people who are unconscious or otherwise unable to remove a mask, and those with severe breathing problems, such as uncontrolled asthma, dementia, or facial deformities. Most people with controlled asthma can wear masks. However, if you have any breathing problems or health concerns about masks, consult your healthcare provider. Wear a mask with 2 or 3 layers over your nose and mouth, secure under your chin. Disposable masks should only be used once and changed if damp. Take action against distractions. Cell phones, conversations, social media, daydreaming, deadlines, pressure, all are distractions and they can lead to accidents or injury. That's why it's so important to be observant and pay attention to the task at hand, whether you're working, walking across the street. Here's how to help eliminate distractions. Plan your day if you can. Complete one task at a time. Take your time. Do not rush through a job or a home project under pressure. Pay attention to the risk at hand. Tell others that you need to focus. Likewise, don't disturb coworkers while they are performing their jobs. Take a break after finishing a task or when you feel your attention declining. Don't use cell phones on the job. Save it for the break. Never text and drive. According to OSHA, studies show that drivers who receive or send text messages take their attention away from the road for an average of 4.6 seconds. If you are driving at 55 miles an hour, that is like driving the length of a football field blindfolded. Deal with stress. If you find yourself becoming overly stressed, take a short break to breathe deeply. Seasonal flu, heart disease, and other chronic conditions. Getting the flu vaccine is more important than ever due to COVID-19 pandemic. Preventing flu and its potentially severe effects is especially important if you have a history of heart disease, stroke, diabetes, or asthma, or are age 65 and older. Other chronic conditions that raise the risk for serious illness from influenza include kidney disease, AIDS, and cancer. Chronic health disorders also raise the risk for serious complications from COVID. It's not too late to get the season's flu vaccine. Be aware of serious flu symptoms, including difficulty breathing or shortness of breath, persistent pain or pressure in the chest or abdomen, persistent dizziness or confusion, severe muscle pain, severe weakness or imbalance, fever or cough that improves but then returns or worsens. Report any of these severe symptoms you have to your healthcare provider right away. Dr. Zobra's Corner mentions something about lung cancer. Lung cancer is the most common cause of cancer in the United States. It claims 150,000 lives annually. It's 25% of all cancer deaths. New targeted treatments have helped people live longer and reduce the death toll significantly. But too many people still die from lung cancer. Most lung cancer is caused by tobacco. 35 million Americans still smoke, far too many. The best time to quit is when you're ready. willing, and able. Thanks, Dr. Pastor. Well, that's all the time we have for today. This has been Tony Ray with Healthy Life. I hope you've enjoyed today's reading from the audio reading service at the Allen County Public Library in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
This is a recording library of West Texas Community Update.
The Midland Health Department is providing clinical services by appointment only. Appointments will be scheduled from 8:15 a.m. to 3:45 p.m. Monday through Friday. The Health Department will have immunization clinics 8:15 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday. Appointments are required for immunizations. To schedule an appointment, call 681-7613.
As we live through one of the country's most severe economic downturns, we strive to bring you information about money, investing, consumer news, and the energy industry. Mondays at 6 a.m., it's the Kiplinger's newsletter and Money Matters. Tuesdays at 6 a.m., The Economist. Wednesdays at 6 a.m., a weekly roundup of the Lone Star State with News of Texas. Thursdays at 6 a.m., Consumer Reports. And Fridays at 6 a.m., Permian Basin Oil and Business News from the Midland Report. Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American. Weekday mornings at 6 on Recording Library of West Texas Radio.
Now, here's your forecast for the Midland, Odessa area. It's 60 and clear. Tonight, clear with a low in the upper 50s. Then tomorrow, partly cloudy with a high in the mid 70s. Tomorrow night, clear with a low in the low 60s. From the Recording Library of West Texas 24-Hour Weather Center, I'm Maria Lopez.
This is the Recording Library of West Texas.
This program is intended for a print-impaired audience and is brought to you by the Georgia Radio Reading Service, GARS. Hello, I'm Morgan Madeline, bringing you Martha Stewart Living. I'll be reading from the March 2021 print edition of Martha Stewart Living magazine. I will be picking up where I left off last week on the article Sourdough School, text by Michelle Shee, created by Sophie Herbert Slater and Sarah Carey. Sourdough croissants. For this recipe, Sophie was inspired by the blog Baking Sense. Baking-sense.com, that's baking-sense.com. Instead of an autolyse, it calls for a sponge. You only add some of the flour at this stage. If you start the dough around 8 or 9 a.m., you should be able to make the dough, laminate, roll out, cut, and shape by late evening, saving you work in the morning. If you start later, roll and shape them the next morning. For the levain, you will need 85 grams fetch sourdough starter, about a generous third cup, 85 grams unbleached organic all-purpose flour, about half a cup plus 2 tablespoons, and 85 grams lukewarm water, a third cup plus 1 tablespoon. For the dough, you'll need 380 grams whole milk, 1 and 2/3 cups, warmed to 100 degrees, 575 grams unbleached organic all-purpose flour, 4.5 cups, plus more for dusting, 84 grams sugar, a third cup, 15 grams fine sea salt, 2 and 3/4 teaspoons, and neutral oil for bowl. For the butter package, you'll need 4 sticks unsalted butter, softened, 15 grams unbleached organic all-purpose flour, 2 tablespoons, 2 large egg yolks, and 2 tablespoons heavy cream. Step 1. Levain. On day 1, at night, mix together starter, flour, and water in a large bowl. Cover with a damp kitchen towel or a large plate and let stand at room temperature 8 to 10 hours. Step 2. Dough. On day 2, in the morning, make a sponge. Dissolve levain in warmed milk, stirring or whisking to combine. Add 300 grams flour, 2 1/4 cups, and mix to combine. Sponge should feel like a thick batter. Let stand 30 minutes. Step 3. Stir sugar and salt into sponge, then add remaining 275 grams flour, 2 cups. Stir to combine. Knead with floured hands on a lightly floured surface about 4 minutes. Wash and lightly oil bowl and return dough to it. Cover with a large plate or a damp kitchen towel. Let stand 30 minutes. Step 4. With dampened hands, grab underside of dough, stretch it out, and fold it back over itself. Rotate bowl 1/4 turn. Repeat 6 times. Cover with cloth and let stand 30 minutes. Repeat folding process every 30 minutes until dough feels pillowy and elastic, and has increased in volume about 50%, a total of 6 to 8 times, 3.5 to 4.5 hours. Cover and let stand 1 hour, then refrigerate 30 minutes along with butter package. See step 5. This is so they have the same temperature and a similar texture, which makes them much easier to work with. Step 5. Butter package. During last resting of dough, combine butter and flour in the bowl of a mixer and beat on medium speed to combine. Transfer to a piece of parchment, top with a second piece of parchment, and roll out to a 7x7 inch square. Transfer to a baking sheet and refrigerate 30 minutes. When ready, package should be waxy and pliable, not rock solid. Step 6. Turn rested and chilled dough onto a floured surface. Let stand 10 minutes. Roll out to a 10x10 inch square. Place butter package in center of dough. Roll corners of dough out another 5 inches. Lift one side at a time over butter package, enclosing it in dough. Pinch seams to seal. Give dough a few firm knocks along its seams with side of rolling pin. Step 7. Roll dough out to an 8x24 inch rectangle. Fold into thirds like a letter. Bottom 8 inches of dough up, then top 8 inches dough down over that. Turn so seam faces side. Repeat this rolling and folding process once more. If butter starts to ooze out, put dough on a baking sheet and refrigerate for 10 to 15 minutes before rolling out further. Place folded dough on a baking sheet and refrigerate 30 minutes. Repeat rolling and folding process once more, the third turn. If time permits and you have energy, repeat one more time after another 30-minute rest in refrigerator. Roll dough out until it begins to spring back. This is just to get a jump start on the final rolling. Then transfer to a baking sheet lined with parchment. Cover and refrigerate at least 8 hours and up to 1 day. It is possible to roll and shape after a shorter rest of about 4 hours, but the longer rest makes the dough easier to work with. Step 8. On day 3 in the morning, line 2 baking sheets with parchment. Place chilled dough on a floured surface and roll into a 23x16.5 inch rectangle. If you find that it is springing back or a lot of butter is oozing out, transfer to a refrigerator for a few minutes. If small patches of dough break, exposing butter, sprinkle with some flour to cover and refrigerate briefly. Trim edges straight. Starting at one short end, use a pizza or pastry wheel to cut dough in half lengthwise, so you have 2 22.5x8 inch strips. If your dough feels unwieldy, briefly refrigerate. Cut each strip into 5 rectangles, each about 4.5x8 inches. Cut from one bottom corner to opposite top corner of each rectangle, creating 2 triangles. Step 9. Arrange triangles on work surface, with shortest sides nearest you and long pointed ends farthest from you. Gently stretch width of short ends slightly. Then roll croissants toward pointed ends, holding onto the points and gently tugging to elongate as you roll. Bend either end of croissants toward middle slightly to form crescent shapes. Place croissants on prepared baking sheets, spaced about 3 inches apart, tucking points under shaped crescents so they don't unfurl in the oven. You should be able to fit 10 on each half sheet pan. Drape with plastic wrap and let stand at room temperature until puffed, expanded by about 60%, and very soft, 2 to 3 hours. Or, if you are shaping the night before baking, place all the croissants on a single baking sheet and refrigerate overnight, as they won't really expand much. Remove about 3 hours before you want to bake, divide them between 2 sheets, and allow to proof as above. It could take slightly longer given that they are cold. Step 10. Preheat oven to 400 degrees. Whisk together egg yolks and cream. Brush proofed croissants evenly with egg wash and bake, rotating pans from top to bottom and back to front halfway through until puffed, golden brown, and baked through 25 to 28 minutes. Let cool on sheets on wire racks 15 minutes, then transfer directly to racks and let cool completely. Croissants are excellent the day they're made, but if making ahead, let cool completely, then freeze in resealable plastic bags. To serve, wrap in parchment-lined foil and reheat from frozen in a 350-degree oven until just heated through about 10 minutes. Active time, 1 hour, 5 minutes. Total time, 3 days. Makes 20. Best in Show Bread, Sourdough Boules. For beginners, an Instagram-worthy boule is often the goal, but after one bite of a successful loaf, appearances are an afterthought. If you're still tentative about trying, buck up, Martha says with a laugh. It's only flour and water. Sophie agrees. You'll have some flops, but practice makes progress, she says. And sourdough thrives on neglect. More time is more. Another tip. Sophie's trusty bread baking pot is the cast iron challenger. The shallow depth makes it easy to transfer the dough, and the cover seals in steam, which helps a thick crust develop. For $295 at challengerbreadware.com, that's challengerbreadware.com. Top-notch tips. When Sophie uses a lame, a double-sided blade, to create designs, it's not necessary. If you don't cut the surface, the bread will split open naturally for a more rustic look. She is, however, a stickler for organic ingredients. She uses flour from Maine Grains at mainegrains.com. That's MAINEGRAINS.com. Croissant flour from Central Milling in Utah at centralmilling.com. That's CENTRALMILLING.com. And grass-fed dairy. Boule, step by step. 1. Shape the loaf. With the sides of your hands on the counter, cup the folded dough and drag it toward you, tucking the edges under to meet in a seam. This motion creates tension on the exterior that will help it hold its shape in the oven. 2. Transfer. Using a bench scraper, gently transfer the loaf into a basket or bowl, seam side up. Baskets made specially for sourdough, called bannetons, leave pretty markings on the loaf, but any bowl works fine. 3. Cover and chill. Use a cloth to cover the dough and refrigerate it overnight to proof. The slow rise helps flavor develop. Plus, it'll be ready to bake in the morning, which means you'll have all day to enjoy your fresh bread. 4. Score it. Gently place the dough seam side down in a preheated parchment-lined pot. Score it, cover, and bake. You can also put a few ice cubes on top to create more steam, which thickens the crust. Now the recipe for sourdough boules. For the levain, you'll need 50 grams fed sourdough starter, about a quarter cup, 75 grams unbleached organic bread or all-purpose flour, a half cup plus 1 tablespoon, plus more for dusting, 75 grams lukewarm water, a third cup. For the dough, you'll need 575 grams lukewarm water, 2.5 cups, 750 grams unbleached organic bread flour, 5.75 cups, and 17 grams fine sea salt, 1 tablespoon. Step 1. Levain. On day 1 at night, mix together starter flour and water in a large bowl. Cover with a damp kitchen towel or a large plate and let stand at room temperature 10 to 12 hours. Step 2. Dough. On day 2 in the morning, make an autolyse. Add 525 grams, 2.25 cups, water to levain, stirring to dissolve. Stir in flour using a rubber scraper and then your hands to fully incorporate. Autolyse should not feel too wet or sticky. If it does, add more flour. Err on the side of a drier dough, especially as we'll be adding more water later. Cover bowl with a damp kitchen towel. Let stand at room temperature at least 30 minutes and up to 4 hours. Step 3. Dissolve salt in remaining 50 grams water, about a quarter cup. Incorporate into dough by squeezing it in with your hands. Cover and let stand 30 minutes. Step 4. With dampened hands, grab underside of dough, stretch it out, and fold it back over itself. Rotate bowl one quarter turn and repeat six more times. Cover and let stand 30 minutes. Repeat process five more times, letting dough stand 30 minutes between each. After final folding, dough should be soft and elastic. Let rest 30 minutes more. This step should take about 3.5 hours total. Step 5. Turn rested dough out onto a lightly floured surface. Divide into two pieces with a bench scraper or a sharp knife. Using your hands, shape each into a loose round, rotating as you go. Let stand about 10 minutes. Meanwhile, flour two Bannetton baskets or kitchen towel-lined bowls. 6. With floured hands, fold edges of dough into center to create a tighter bundle. Start by folding edge closest to you in towards center. Then fold in sides, as if creating an envelope. Finally, fold top edge down. Flip dough seam side down. Using both hands and keeping the sides of your hands in contact with work surface, cup side of dough farthest from you and gently drag it down toward your body in a half circle motion, simultaneously using the side of your hand to tuck edges under dough round. This will create tension on the outside of the dough, which is necessary to maintain the shape of the finished loaf. Continue rotating and dragging until dough is taut, smooth, and uniformly round. 3 to 4 more turns. Step 7. Use bench scraper to gently transfer shaped round to a prepared Bannetton or bowl, seam side up. Repeat with second piece of dough and Bannetton. Cover with damp kitchen towels and refrigerate at least 8 hours and up to 1 day. 8. On day 3, line a 6-quart or larger Dutch oven with a square of parchment to prevent dough from sticking to bottom, and cover with lid. Place in oven on lower rack and preheat to 500 degrees. Meanwhile, take dough out of refrigerator. It does not have to return all the way to room temperature. Step 9. Invert one dough seam side down into a preheated Dutch oven, or first into your hands to round it out, then into Dutch oven. Use a bread lame, razor, or knife to score top of loaf. Drop a couple of ice cubes on top, optional, cover, and bake 20 minutes. Reduce temperature to 450 degrees. Bake 10 minutes. Remove lid and bake until crust is dark golden brown and bowl stands hollow when tapped, 15 to 25 minutes more. Step 10. Remove from oven, transfer loaf to a wire rack, and let cool completely. Let Dutch oven cool 10 minutes before cleaning it out and repeating entire process with second loaf. If you have two Dutch ovens, you can bake both loaves at the same time. Cooled loaves last about 2 to 3 days, well wrapped at room temperature, or cut them into quarters or slice, place in freezer bags, and freeze up to 1 month. Active time 35 minutes, total time 3 days, makes 2 9-inch bowls. Focaccia for all. If you have limited experience baking bread or sourdough, this recipe is about as forgiving as they come. The technique teaches you the basics from making the levain and autolyzing to folding, but you just plop the dough onto an oiled sheet pan and press it out for the final rise. Don't worry if it doesn't reach the edges of the pan at first. Just let it rest briefly, then try again. And pushing your fingers in to make the classic dents feels so satisfying. The result is thick and crunchy and deliciously olive oil laden, like your favorite deep dish pizza. Making history. Sophie has 2 sourdough starters, one she made herself, and another known as the Black Death starter, which allegedly dates to 1633, when the plague swept through a town in Bavaria where it originated. The irony is not lost on her. For the sourdough focaccia, for the levain you'll need 30 grams fed sourdough starter, about 3 tablespoons, 35 grams unbleached organic all-purpose flour, 3 tablespoons, 35 grams lukewarm water, 2 tablespoons plus 2 teaspoons. For the dough, you'll need 290 grams lukewarm water, 1 1/3 cups, 295 grams unbleached organic all-purpose flour, 2 cups, 181 grams unbleached organic bread flour, 1 1/4 cups, 15 grams fine sea salt, 2 3/4 teaspoons, plus more for seasoning, 60 grams extra virgin olive oil, 1/4 cup, plus more for drizzling, flaky sea salt such as Jacobson, 1 cup cherry tomatoes halved, optional, 2 tablespoons tender rosemary leaves or small sprigs, Step 1. Levain. On day 1 at night, mix together starter, flour, and water in a large bowl. Cover with a damp kitchen towel or a large plate and let stand at room temperature 10 to 12 hours. 2. Dough. On day 2 in the morning, make an autolyse. In a large bowl, dissolve levain in water. Add both flours and stir to combine. Cover with a damp kitchen towel and let stand at room temperature 1 hour. Step 3. Sprinkle autolyse with salt. Drizzle with 1 tablespoon oil. Pinch and fold several times to incorporate. Cover and let stand 30 minutes. Step 4. With dampened hands, grab underside of dough, stretch it out, and fold it back over itself. Rotate bowl 1/4 turn and repeat 6 times. Cover and let stand 30 minutes. Repeat process 4 more times, about 3 hours total. After final folding, you should have a soft, elastic dough. Step 5. Drizzle remaining 3 tablespoons oil evenly into a 9.5 by 12.5 inch rimmed baking sheet or a 9 by 12 inch baking pan. Scrape dough onto sheet and pat out to flatten, pushing it into edges. If it springs back, cover and let stand 10 minutes, then continue until dough fills pan. Drape with plastic wrap. Dough can be made to this point and refrigerated up to 24 hours. Step 6. Let dough stand until it is bubbly and soft and almost reaches top of pan, about 2 hours, or 3 if it's been refrigerated. Preheat oven to 450 degrees. Use your fingers to make dents all over top of dough. Drizzle generously with oil and sprinkle with flaky salt. Season tomatoes with fine salt and scatter over dough. Sprinkle with rosemary. Place a foil-lined rimmed baking sheet on lowest rack to catch any oil overflow. Bake focaccia on center rack until golden brown and cook through 25 to 30 minutes. Let cool on sheet on a wire rack 10 minutes, then transfer directly to rack and let cool completely. You may need to run a spatula underneath to release it. Focaccia is best served the day it's made, but can be stored in an airtight container at room temperature up to 2 days. Active time 20 minutes, total time 2 days, serves 10 to 12. Two delicious ways to use your discard. 1. Blend it into banana bread. While the discard replaces some of the usual flour, you won't notice much difference in flavor. What you will notice is a slightly denser texture and an almost savory flavor from the use of olive oil, plus delicate sweetness from maple syrup. Double happiness. For a pretty topper that will bring a smile or several to everyone's face, cut 2 thin slices from a banana before mashing the rest for the batter to lay across the top of the loaf pre-bake. Or 2, cloak it in cookies. The water from the discard makes these slightly cakey, but banging the pans a couple of times partway through baking and browning the butter, a technique borrowed from Ed Kimber, aka the boy who bakes, the first winner of the Great British Bake Off, adds chewiness, and the butter lends a toasty note. Martha says when Sophie brings these, you want to eat all of them, and I'm not in a position to eat a dozen chocolate chip cookies. They're tender, they're chocolatey, they're different. For the sourdough banana bread, you will need a 1/3 cup extra virgin olive oil plus more for brushing, or vegetable cooking spray. 1 3/4 cups unbleached organic all-purpose flour. 3/4 teaspoon ground cinnamon. 1/4 teaspoon freshly grated nutmeg. 1 teaspoon baking powder. 1/2 teaspoon baking soda. 3/4 teaspoon fine sea salt. 3 to 4 small bananas. 3/4 cup sourdough discard. 1/2 cup pure maple syrup. 2 large eggs, room temperature beaten. And sugar for sprinkling, optional. Step 1. Preheat oven to 350 degrees. Coat a 9 by 5 inch loaf pan with olive oil or cooking spray. Whisk together flour, cinnamon, nutmeg, baking powder, baking soda, and salt. 2. Slice 2 thin lengthwise slices from 1 banana, optional. Mash unsliced portion of that banana with 2 more bananas. Measure 1 1/4 cups mashed banana into a bowl. If you don't have enough, mash in remaining one. Whisk in sourdough discard to combine. Whisk in oil, maple syrup, and eggs. Stir in dry ingredients. Transfer to prepared pan. Top with banana slices, gently pressing into batter slightly to adhere. Sprinkle with sugar for a crackly crust. Step 3. Bake until the tester inserted into center of loaf comes out clean, 1 hour to 1 hour 10 minutes. Let cool in pan on a wire rack 15 minutes, then transfer directly to rack and let cool completely. Banana bread is best served the day it's baked, but can be tightly wrapped in parchment-lined foil and stored at room temperature up to 2 days. Active time 15 minutes, total time 1 hour 25 minutes plus cooling, makes one loaf. Sourdough chocolate chip cookies. The longer this dough sits, the stronger the sourdough flavor will be. You can refrigerate it up for 3 days. For this recipe, you'll need 2.5 sticks unsalted butter, 2 cups packed light brown sugar, 1/2 teaspoon baking soda, 3/4 teaspoon fine sea salt, 3 large egg yolks room temperature, 2 teaspoons pure vanilla extract, 3/4 cup sourdough discard, 2.5 cups unbleached organic all-purpose flour, 10 ounces semi-sweet chocolate, coarsely chopped, or chocolate chips. Step 1. Heat butter in a saucepan over medium until it simmers and foam rises to surface. Continue cooking until solids sink to bottom and turn golden brown, 5 to 8 minutes. Pour into a mixing bowl, scraping in brown solids as well. Let cool 30 minutes. Step 2. Beat butter with sugar, baking soda, and salt on medium speed until well combined, about 2 minutes. Add egg yolks and vanilla and continue beating another 1 minute. Beat in sourdough discard until combined. Add flour, beat to combine. Add chocolate, beat to combine. Let stand 30 minutes. Step 3. Preheat oven to 350 degrees. Use a 2-inch scoop to form 1/4 cup balls of dough. Arrange on parchment-lined baking sheets spaced 2 inches apart. Formed balls can be refrigerated in an airtight container up to 24 hours or frozen up to 1 month. If making from frozen, add about 2 minutes to baking time. Step 4. Bake 9 minutes. Remove sheets from oven and bang on hard surface or oven rack. Bake 3 minutes more, remove and bang again. Bake until browning at edges and just set in center, 3 to 5 minutes more. Let cool on sheets on a wire rack 5 minutes, then transfer directly to rack and let cool completely, or serve warm. Cookies can be stored in an airtight container at room temperature up to 3 days. Active time 20 minutes, total time 1 hour 45 minutes plus cooling, makes about 20. That story was Sourdough School, text by Michelle Shee, created by Sophie Herbert Slater and Sarah Carey. The next story is A Cut Above by Erica Sloan, photographed by Christopher Testani. Mercury Mosaics in Minneapolis. For Mercedes Austin, tiles are pieces of a dynamic puzzle. The lifelong creative, I drew floor plans as a little kid, she says, first took to the medium while watching her college roommate embellish a table with broken bits of ceramic. It was a bold, colorful project and very tactile. It inspired me to take note of an art form I'd never considered, says Austin, who studied painting and photography. In 2002, she launched her line from her attic, creating bubble and square shapes. Since then, it's grown to include classic subways and unexpected designs like hexagons, slender diamonds, and Moroccan fish scales. Today, a team of 35 artisans hand-cuts her forms with wet saws, fires them, and brushes on glazes, each mixed to enhance one of 3 kinds of clay. This made-to-order process is perfect for custom jobs of any size. We're as willing to outfit 2 square feet as to work with the big dreamers, Austin explains, and finding solutions for tricky corners and wonky outlets. We just figure out a way to be friends with them, she says with a laugh. Some of Austin's favorite configurations combine several colors. These beauties represent just a few of her 48 lead-free shades, which range from deep blue to sunny yellow. She has several small hexagons in amber. They are a burnt orange shade with a dark brown around the sides of the hexagons. Small and medium Moroccan fish scales in bluegrass. These are different shaped fish scales. They are a bright turquoise color with a gold lining. Medium diamonds in blue opal. These are a handful of diamond shapes that are in a off-white color that have just a tinge of light blue throughout them. And Subway, 2-inch by 6-inch in grapefruit, These are a selection of a coral pink rectangular-shaped tiles that have white around the edge. From $53 a square foot at mercurymosaics.com, that's MercuryMosaics.com. That story was a cut above by Erica Sloan, photographed by Christopher Testani. That concludes today's readings from Martha Stewart Living. This has been Morgan Malin for the Georgia Radio Reading Service. Thank you for listening to GARS.
Next on Recording Library of West Texas Radio, USA Today, followed by the Midland Reporter Telegram and Odessa American at 3.
This is a Recording Library of West Texas Community Update.
Clinics offer coronavirus tests. Midland Memorial Hospital, 68 nurse. MidlandHealth.org. Mobile testing center at West Campus for COVID-19 nasal swab PCR. Must call for appointment. Antibody testing at West Campus or Main Campus Direct Access, 68 nurse or 221-1111. Cash prize for antibody testing, $50.
This week on the Recording Library of West Texas Radio's Saturday Night Movie, we continue our series of Oscar-winning films. Each week, we're selecting one audio-described movie from each decade leading up to this year's Academy Awards broadcast on April 25th. Saturday, we enter the 70s with the 1971 action thriller, The French Connection. It won the awards for Best Picture, Best Actor, Best Director, Best Film Editing, and Best Adapted Screenplay, and was nominated for three others.
All right, Popeye's here. Get your hands on your heads. Get off the bar and get on the wall. What's my name?
Popeye Doyle. If he doesn't like you, he'll take you apart. And it's all perfectly legal, because Doyle fights dirty.
You want to take a ride there, fat man?
And plays rough.
Anybody want a milkshake?
Doyle is bad news, but he's a good cop.
We're going now. Bye.
What about the last of Big Time Spenders? You make him?
No, are you?
He's spreading it around like the Russians are in Jersey. They say we stick around and give him a tail.
Our friend's name is Boca, Salvatore Boca, B-O-C-A. Well, downtown, they're pretty sure he pulled off a contract on a guy named DeMarco.
Man, that's not a drop I'll open up a charge for you in Bloomingdale's.
B-O-C-A.
Doesn't make sense.
And then on our own, after working a whole day and night, we tail him to Brooklyn, and we sat on him for practically a week. Now, who do we come up with?
The French Connection. A millionaire exporter with a record too clean to be true. And Doyle knows it. But he's been known to make mistakes.
Your hunches have backfired before, Doyle.
This time, he can't afford to be wrong.
Hey! I'm in bust, Bob! I want to bust!
I know the deal hasn't gone down. I know it hasn't. I can feel it. I'm dead certain.
Last time you're dead certain, we hunt the dead cop.
All right, let's hit him.
All right, nobody move. Put your hands in the air.
The stakeout.
Popeye, it's me.
The payoff. Chase.
Don't stop.
French Connection.
Gene Hackman and Roy Scheider star in the 1972 winner for Best Picture, The French Connection. Audio described. Saturday night at 7 on Recording Library of West Texas Radio.
To bring us up to time for our next regularly scheduled program, we now bring you the following informative feature.
To Your Good Health by Dr. Keith Roach. Change in meds cause pounding pulse. Dear Dr. Roach, I am a 72-year-old woman on medication for high blood pressure and cholesterol. For 15 years, I took Atenolol, 25 milligrams, twice daily. I developed hair loss, and my doctor said to stop the Atenolol immediately, that hair loss was a known side effect. He put me instead on 120 milligrams of extended release diltiazem and upped my morning Losartan to 50 milligrams. I have been on this new regimen about 4 weeks. My pulse on Atenolol was in the 60s and I felt good in spite of the hair loss. Now my pulse is in the low 80s and I can feel and hear loud pounding in my chest. It doesn't feel good. My BP on Atenolol was in the 130s over 60s, and on the new meds it's a bit higher. What is the appropriate range of pulse, and will my current higher rate go back down if I further adjust to the new Diltiazem MH?